Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Pat, for Greg.
Are you now? All right, I'm out of here.
I'm filling in for Greg, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. No, I don't want to fill in for Pat.
No, you don't.
It is Wednesday.
All right.
What was that?
Chris was agreeing with you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, it is Wednesday. How are we doing, fellas? How are we doing?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Doing good, doing good.
My goodness, time just flies. I mean, we talk about this every day, but it just does. We talked about how you need, if you missed yesterday's program, you got to go to The Torch by going to VFNTV.com. And you really got to look at some of these highlights. But yesterday we talked about forcing time to comply with your destiny. And if you don't get a hold of time, let me tell you, time will get a hold of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well.
Before you know it, it's gone. And, you know, you have the same 24 hours as a president does. And he, you know, he's doing a whole lot of things these days. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But 24 hours. And so you could literally take time and cause it to, you know, come into compliance, take a hold of time. Well, I'll tell you, I want to welcome our VFN Radio listeners today. I want to welcome all of those that are joining us. So amazing. I want to give a shout out to everyone out there in Texas. Oh, my goodness. And Toys R Us and Joanne out there at the Hospital of New York Presbyterian. Let me tell you, it's all good. It's all good. Well, Pat, this weekend, Chris, I had the chance. Had a chance to go on a little excursion, a chance to get out in the snow. You know, we had winter storm Nemo, I guess a week ago, I guess it was, when he came and went. And, you know, some of the snow has, you know, went away. But, you know, my son was having a birthday, and I decided that I was going to take him to do something on the outdoors, something fun and exciting. So I took him sledding.
Sledding, huh?
Not just the average sledding. Now we went to
down the street, or
no. We actually went to a course because, you know, the snow is gone around here, so I had to go up in the mountains.
Oh, is it already?
Oh yeah, it's pretty much for the most part all melted away.
Yeah,
you know, so that's that. You know, comes and it goes, but up in the mountains, they have this kind of like ski resort, sledding resort type of thing, and I wanted to take them out there. Not really, you know, it's just like a, not resorty, you know, not,
man,
not like,
going on
not
up
like,
there.
Not like the mansions that you're accustomed to. It's, get that out of your mind. Get that out of your,
okay.
Just remove that. Resorts, okay? This is just got kind of a campsite type of thing, but it's a snow place. It's a snow place. Well, you know, extracurricular activities. Well, anyway, so I take them up there. They actually make snow. Now, I've never seen this before, but they actually make snow.
Okay.
I found that little secret here. It's not really snow that they make, because it looks white. I mean, it just looks white. It looks like regular snow.
Yeah.
But but it's very kind of very slippery, and it's actually little tiny beads of ice. I mean, it's like very, very tiny. But I guess with the light shining on it, just makes it look white. But you pick it up in your hands, there's nothing white to it at all. Like, snow is white for sure. Mm-hmm. Pick it up and it's white, like cotton. Sometimes it falls on the ground so heavy.
Right.
But the snow, made manufactured snow, was little pellets of ice. Well, we're going up to this place. We've never been there before. Of course, you know, my sons are just jacked. They're pumped. And we go up to this mountain. I'm thinking at first, you know, how are we going to get up and down these hills? Because I've been sledding before. You know what I'm saying? These hills are no joke.
Yeah.
But this is actually on a mountain. Now, this place has sledding on one side. They actually call it tubing. You get in this tube. You get it. Sledding tubing on this one side, and then they have, like, skiing and snowboarding on the other side as the mountains get steeper. But get this, dude. We go to the top. You go to the top of this mountain, and they literally drag you up. It's like a conveyor belt.
Oh,
for big boys like us, for down boys like us. You know, that would be hilarious just watching us climb up this mountain.
Right.
But they put you on this tube. It's like tube that you would go on the back of a boat, if you think, you know, like tubing, yeah, those big rubber things.
Right. Yeah.
And it has a rope on the end of it. They slap the rope on this huge belt. They have this wire, steel wire that just kind of rotates. It's like a pulley system.
Yeah.
And it literally drags everyone up the mountain. So you get a time of reprieve and rest. But I want to play this video. You can just hear the speed and the lightning quickness coming down this mountain. I want you to see this. Go ahead and play that.
All right.
Ah! Oh.
Wow, that's kind of painful. Oh, check that out. Dude, they're flying.
Oh.
See you, Isaiah.
He passed him. You left him behind.
Woo-hoo!
Look out, dude.
Crash.
You know, one thing I didn't take into consideration as the wind was going through my hair and I was, you know.
Yeah, right, both of them.
And I was enjoying the brisk, you know, just sun, just coldness going off my face. I said, this is fast. This is good.
They are flying.
What I didn't take into account as I'm recording this, because, you know, not the first time you're thinking, this is incredible. I mean, this is, you're flying down there. I mean, you're flying on a sheet of ice. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how do we stop? they have these so-called slowdown precaution. I don't know, but these rubber mats they have at the end of this mountain, if you will,
yeah,
to slow you down. You got like outdoor indoor carpet towards the end. It does not work.
Squat.
Okay, it's a lie. It's a facade, right? And then the very end of it slopes up like a ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but what stops you from going over the ramp supposedly,
yeah,
is a net. But dude, as you can see, I crashed right into the net. Phone in my hand, I'm thinking, don't drop the phone.
Yeah, right.
So without dropping the phone, my head went through the net, you know, like against the net. But highly recommended. You know what I'm saying? It was only 2 hours, so it was enough to kind of get in and get out without getting hurt.
Amazing.
But it was definitely worth trying at least once. But that was cool. He had a ball, he had fun, and a great way to be able to get out there and have a little, you know, extracurricular and some fun.
I got a question though.
Yeah, sure.
Why are you so much further ahead of your son? Why did you like just speed past him? What happened?
Well, you know, the law of physics. The law
physics.
The heavier that you are, it just seems to carry you. It just seems to just.
Yeah,
you shot by him like a bullet, dude. That was amazing.
It was like a rocket on one side.
Like, see, Isaiah.
Yeah. I mean, the heavier you are, man, it's just like, you don't stand a chance, dude. Right. You don't stand a chance. We almost had a nasty fall at the top. They gather all these people at the top, so they try to release them at, you know, the right timing. Otherwise, I mean, you have just chaos down there because you can't stop it at all. I mean, once you're on there, it's like
you're on
you better
your
put on, baby, because you're going down this mountain. But the people at the top started tripping and falling, and this poor lady just fell, boom, right on top of Elijah. He fell back, and it was about to go all the way down. It's
like dominoes. Like
split, oh yeah, like there's a split second that they were able to catch it. But you literally had to take your boots. You take your boots now, and literally bang your back of your heel into the snow to get footing. And I'm gonna have like military grade boots that Rich gave me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I had those and I'm like, even with those boots, but I had to like dig into that snow, into that ice. Otherwise, you were a goner. You were slipping and definitely sliding.
Wow. It's like walking on ice. I mean,
yeah, it was cool though. It was cool. I highly recommend it. But then again, you know, I'm sure that you can't enjoy that down there in the, you know, south, you know, in the nice.
We have sand.
Hey, which reminds me, we used to go sand sledding.
What?
Yeah, when we were kids.
Uh-huh.
Pat made us a sled out of cardboard. He was a man of construction even as a kid.
Even as a kid, boy. It was within me.
He was always creating things. But yeah, I remember our dad took us to the beach, and
this is back when we had like huge sand dunes.
Oh yeah,
and they were like mountains.
Yeah, it was before Hurricane
Frederick destroyed them. But yeah, what?
Yeah. But Pat made this awesome sled out of cardboard. It was amazing. We used to slide down these big, huge mountain sand dunes. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was
wow.
Cool.
That's cool.
I remember that flashback.
Yeah, I've been on those sand dunes. Those are pretty nasty. But I could imagine how high they were probably.
Oh,
back
they used
in the
to be huge.
Yeah.
I mean, huge.
Yeah, they were mountains.
No
wow,
joke.
That's just amazing. That is absolutely amazing. I saw a picture on Facebook. I thought it was quite cruel. Someone had a picture of Emerald Coast and said the writing on it said, "You call this vacation, but I call it home." Not cool. Not cool. And I appreciate that. This picture, the Emerald Coast is beautiful. The water
right.
And the beach. And the writing on the picture said, "You call this vacation, but I call..." Yeah. I'm like, come on now. Not cool. They're not like that. They're not appreciate that.
Right.
You know? So, you know, we got to find something to do out here in the snow. So there you have it, okay? You know, this just yesterday we talked about, actually the last couple of days, we've been talking about Black History, and this is Black History Month, and some of the contributions that African Americans have made in the country, which is wonderful, and how we were kind of rediscovering that. What I want to talk about today about George Washington Carver. Dude.
Amazing.
Dudes. These guys are... this guy's amazing. I mean, he really was an amazing, and awesome, just awesome American. And he loved God, dude. He loved God. And I was reading on this Christianity.com site about George Washington Carver, and I just thought it was so interesting. They talked about his life and how, you know, he was taught how to read.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know how to read. Many of the people that he grew up with didn't know how to read either. There was one lady that was mentoring him or just kind of raising him up, was mm-hmm. teaching him how to read. And from a very young boy, he actually learned to read, which was very uncommon during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he began reading the Bible as a daily habit. I mean, just a daily routine, and just was abiding with God from as a very young boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that really he you know, was doing all of his entire life. And he's been known for that.
Right.
Well, he, you know, was getting educated and learning and kind of outgrew the knowledge of where he was, you know, presently at. So it's said that he actually... you know, hitched the wagon and started headed out to Kansas, and he got all kinds of jobs cooking and just earning money for school books, because they were trying to instill in them, the people that were raising him up, that our people are starving for learning. You know, during that time period, you know, the African Americans, and some of them were in slavery, all that stuff was kind of just shifting and changing, a major change. And many of them have access to books or education, and so they were trying to instill them, you need to get this learning, and you need to bring it back. So he kind of just caught the vision for what they instilled in him as a young boy, and just began to learn and had a desire to learn more and more. Well, he finally graduated high school, and he did really well, like in biology and chemistry and stuff like that. So he applied to this college in Kansas, right?
Right?
So he shows up, he gets his acceptance letter, only to find out that they didn't accept colored people at the time. He says, "Oh my goodness, major letdown!" Right? They didn't know. He didn't know he shows up.
Mm.
So he winds up going to another college, was the second African American student in the history of the school.
Oh, wow.
So he winds up going there, starts doing well. And one of his teachers said, "Listen, you need to go to Iowa State, I believe it is. You need to go to Iowa State. It's an agricultural school. You need to transfer there, and I think that's going to serve you well. I think you're going to learn a lot there." Well, you know, sure enough, he went out there, and he did great. It was an agriculture mechanical arts, and he studied horticulture.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he said horticulture.
Yeah, you got
horticulture. Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Amazing.
I appreciate that. Well, he just began to study and learn and really just, you know, set himself to get an education. Well, he got a master's degree and wound up working there. He wound up getting a job as a professor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then one day he gets this letter. He gets this letter from the Tuskegee Institute from Booker T. Washington. And he says, "Listen, why don't you come and teach? Why don't you come here and teach?" Now, Booker T. Washington says, "Listen, you know, basically, I can offer you a place to work, but, you know, you're going to work hard, and it's the task is very, very, you know, hard here,
mm-hmm.
And it's basically bringing a people out of degradation, poverty, and waste to full personhood. And instantly, it is said that George Washington Carver remembered. He says, "This is my destiny. This is my destiny." And basically, he said, "This is what God made me for." And so he gave up all the promises of getting all sorts of kind of money and fame, mm-hmm. and went to this small school in Tuskegee, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Right. So he goes out there, and he musters up to get about 13 students because the farming wasn't good. They didn't want to teach people how to farm, and mm-hmm. and just soil was just totally just ruined because of all the years of growing cotton. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted them to learn how to have industry and how to grow and farm, all this type of stuff. He only had 13 students. Listen to this. That means he shows up. He's like, "Well, Booker T. Washington sure didn't lie to me. He's like, this is, it ain't nothing where I came from. You know, this is right. Got down here.
So tough road.
Yeah, this is a tough road." And he realized that I've got students, but I don't have a laboratory, nor do I have the money for a laboratory. So he takes his students. Listen to this now. Uh-huh. He takes his students to basically a landfill, a dump, okay? Huh. And he directed them to get useful bottles, cooking pots, jars, lids, odd bits of metal, rusty lamps, broken handles. And they gathered all of this stuff. They used to go in alleyways of Tuskegee and find, like, broken china dishes and, mm-hmm. and just rubber and curtain rods and flat irons. And he says, "All this may seem like junk to you," right? So the students. Mm-hmm. "But it's only waiting for us to apply our intelligence to it. Let's get to work." So they get all this stuff. And one of the things about this makeshift laboratory that they learned, and I thought this was interesting, is we just talk about George Washington Carver, mm-hmm. and the invention and some of the things that just he just made, one of the valuable lessons that they all, the students and him alike, they learned that, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, success is not going to come by having the latest and the greatest stuff. It doesn't matter about having the best stuff. They learned that you can have success if you just work hard and use what you got. That can preach so much today. You have so many, especially young children. "I need the $100 shoes to play better basketball." I'm like, man, please. If you got game, you can play barefooted.
Exactly.
If you got game, but the shoes don't make the skill. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It was amazing how convinced we were, though.
Yeah, all right.
I was thoroughly convinced. Them Reeboks, that's it. With the pump up tongue. Oh man, that's it. Yeah. Remember those?
I sure do. Got to have the gel in the bag. Got to have my ups.
Yeah.
Dude, they just took what they had. And so George Washington Carver, he would spend time, with God and just he would pray and he asked God and said, "Lord, teach me the secrets of the universe." And he says, I'm paraphrasing, "Lord didn't teach me the secrets of the universe, but he sure taught me the secrets of a peanut."
That's right.
And he did. God taught him secrets of a peanut. He invented in his lifetime, over 300 products that you could make out of peanuts. And the thing about it is that he was showing the peanut farmers how to make peanuts, and they mm-hmm. said, "Well, we can't make no money with this." So not only did he show them how to grow peanuts, but he actually invented products to produce, to make revenue.
Right.
And everything from peanut, peanut butter to butter to oil to milk to dye to salve to shaving cream, paper, shampoo, metal, polish, stains, plastics. You name it. 300 products.
Wow.
At the very end of his life, he lived very frugal, and he stayed at Tuskegee to the very end of his life. Mm-hmm. This is his life's mission. And all of the monies that he had gathered, he saved up $60,000. $60,000 at that time he saved up.
Millions compared to today, right?
Could you imagine? He saved that up and left it to the foundation, to the school, because he believed in educating and helping, and he gave God credit for everything. He was, in fact, in 1906, he used to give Bible studies to the students upon their request there at the college.
Wow.
There at the college. And it's just so amazing. I love the contributions to African American Day. I believe he passed away January 5th, and they call that, which I didn't know this, George Washington Carver Day.
What year was that?
You know, I don't have it. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't. But he passed away in January the 5th. Mm-hmm. And he was, I believe, he was 78 years old.
Oh, wow.
78 years old. In 1943. He was 78. It was 1943, January the 5th. And he just kept working to the very end, man. In fact, they said that he met Henry Ford somewhere, and they were going to use soy or something to develop another way for fuel back then.
Oh, wow.
And Henry Ford, they said...
Biofuel, even back then.
Think about it. It's reported that Henry Ford has even put, because the doctors told him he couldn't climb up the 19 steps of his room or whatever, said that Henry Ford put an elevator in his house for him.
Wow.
Oh,
I don't know how
wow.
much he did back then, you know, but they did it. You know, my goodness, who would have thought they would have invented all those products? But it's just wonderful to celebrate, you know, the contributions that African Americans have made throughout the years. And he was so recognized. I mean, there's three presidents. Calvin Coolidge recognized him, a couple other presidents. And it was just great, great to see that. We'll be right back.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because
yeah.
I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right.
You know, I don't know if you know Tom Landry. He was a coach for Dallas,
right? The Cowboys. Right,
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. He said, you know, you have all these players, football players. For those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay. So then they want to win the Super Bowl. And so, but he's the coach and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Mm.
And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great. I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do, what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come to pass, would come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that, that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this. But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that. Mm-hmm. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan for free, and begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved. Just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And you're just joining us here in the first hour. We were talking about adventures in sledding, but more importantly, we're talking about George Washington Carver and the contributions that he made. And, you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful that we're celebrating, you know, Black History Month and some of the wonderful, wonderful things that you know, American citizens have done, specifically, you know, African Americans and their contributions to our country. But I wanted to share with you guys, you know, just recently I had a chance to go to a restaurant. I just had a chance to go to a restaurant and with my family and grab a meal. And, you know, I was thinking about this actually a little bit yesterday when we were talking about the prayer of faith and not of doubt. We spoke about that yesterday, that, you know, sometimes people become so skeptical and so full of just, you know, suspicions, you know, being suspicious that they don't get to believe in things anymore. You know, it's just like, you know, they just expect, you know, just bad stuff to happen or bad service. And I was at this restaurant. In fact, it's one of our favorite restaurants. And we have a couple of favorite restaurants up here. Okay. But it was one of our favorites. And we had a chance to go as a family. And, you know, we're eating this food. And I love this place. A little shout out for the Gotham Diner. It's a diner that is set up to look like you're in a subway, New York subway. And it's very, very cool. Oh, wow. It just looks, yeah, it's, you know, it's just really neat. And it has stuff from, like, New York and just different things like that. But it's set up really cool. And I'm at this diner. We're having this great meal, and I'm looking at Teresa. I'm thinking, are you enjoying your food just as much as I'm enjoying my food? This is like off the chain. I mean, this is like so good.
Yeah.
And I'm having this thing called the Bronx Bomber. Okay, the Bronx Bomber. And it's
when was
it's,
this?
This is just that not too long ago. It was over the weekend, and it's like a.
Really?
I can eat.
Oh, okay.
And
was
so,
that before or after your shake?
This was the evening meal. This was the evening meal.
Okay.
The evening meal.
Right.
Evening.
Okay.
So, so I feel like I'm being monitored here.
I'm just saying.
So, I'm having the Bronx Bomber, okay? And it's not like a Philly cheese. It's kind of like a Philly cheese stick, but it's not shredded. Shredded meat. It's like this thicker beef with just onions and just melted provolone cheese and just, I mean, it's just banging. Okay, it's like, well, I can say it's banging.
That sounds painful.
It is just good. You know, it's just good. Makes you want to lick your fingers good. You know, finger
like you want to slap your mama, right?
I don't know about that part, but you know. and she's having a cheeseburger, and you're like, are you kidding me? How good can a cheeseburger taste? You know, it's a burger, dude. This burger, I'm like, let me have a bite of that. Let me. I mean, it was just good. And so we're just eating our meal and having a good time. And the kids' food was great. They were loving it. And just, you know, the ambiance is just good. And as we got to talking there, which I realized, you know, every single time we come here, the food is great. The portions are great. Mm-hmm. The service is great. The ambiance is great. It was jam-packed. This is a great place. So I asked the waiter to come on over. And I says, listen, can you know, comes on over. And very, very nice man, Nate. And he comes over and he says, I said, hey, can I see the manager? And he's like, is everything okay? I, everything is wonderful. So the manager comes over. And I've probably done this. You've mm-hmm. been out here with me probably like at least a dozen times in my life. And I'll call the manager over, and the manager comes over, look, little concerned look, like, you know,
uh-oh.
Oh, what's this guy going to lay on me? You know what I'm saying? What's this guy going to lay on me? And he says, he said, everything okay? Everything okay? I said, everything is fine. He says, listen, I just wanted to tell you, and please roll this up, you know, roll this up to senior management, the owners, and even back there to the guys that are cooking. Because, you know, when I was in college, I worked at a restaurant, I waited tables. And a lot of the guys in the kitchen, you know, they don't ever hear the compliments, you know, of how good their food is. Sometimes they do, but it doesn't mm-hmm. always get back to the kitchen. I said, please tell these guys, I want to tell you that every time we come here, the food is absolutely wonderful every single time. It's the only thing I order every time I go. It's just so
same
good.
Thing, every time.
Well, I just don't have the nerve to try anything else. It's just so good.
That's what you are with everything.
But this is good. And, you know, Teresa saying the same thing and the ambiance and just really bragging on our waiter. And it says, I just wanted to tell you that because I know that sometimes people don't always say good stuff. And I know that, you know, when you're quick to hear something negative, but maybe not here to quick something positive. Mm-hmm. Oh, the manager, you would have thought I was giving him a raise or something. I mean, he was just,
just beaming, you know, huh?
He was beaming and thank you very much, sir. And thank you, you know. Thank you. And I mean, he just kept going on and on. And I'll make sure. And we appreciate that because we work so hard. And that feels so good when you're spending your hard earned money in a place that, you know, you want to know the service is good. Well, what I want to say about this is that I want to encourage you today to catch someone doing something great. I mean, today, really take the time to notice someone that's doing something good. Mm-hmm. In this economy, I mean, you got so many people that are working hard. They're working hard to earn a living these days, mm-hmm. more than ever, right? And they're oftentimes now they're getting paid less and are having to do more with less pay mm-hmm. and less resources. They're extending hours and all those different things. You know, give someone a pat on the back, especially if someone's offering you a service. If you're in a restaurant, if you're, you know, someone's pumping gas for you, give them a tip. Say something nice and encourage them because let me tell you something. We are called to add courage, right? That's what encourage means. Encouragement means adding courage. Discouragement means to take away the courage. And I love what Galatians 6:9 says. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. And so one of the ways that we can be a light is to, and we talked about this one of the highlights, don't let your jaw close, right? Open your mouth, right?
Right.
And say something kind. Mm-hmm. You know, say something kind. I remember when I used to train agents in the insurance industry, and we'd go out there and teach them how to meet people and just network and do business and get out there. You know, I had this one agent who said, so difficulty talking to people. And I go, do you not speak to anyone? You know, I really don't do much talking at all. I said, what about the lady that you pay your gas with? You know, I said, I'm going to give you a little tip. I want you to try this out, a little training. I want you every single time you go pay for your gas, I want you to say something nice to the lady at the back of that counter every single time, the man at the counter, say something nice. And you know what? He started doing it, and guess what? He started meeting people. And people said, well, I don't have any friends. The Bible says, well, show yourself friendly. Show yourself friendly, and you'll have friends. But we're talking about celebrating other people doing good. Think about it. Jesus went around doing good. Mm-hmm. He just went around. He's doing good. He preached the good news of the kingdom, right?
Yeah.
He healed the sick. He delivered the oppressed. He was moved with compassion, right? But recognizing people doing good means that we're putting our eyes on other people and not putting our eyes on ourselves. And that is so important because we're called to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We're supposed to have an influence in our community, right? And one of the ways we can do that is just by loving on people and speaking to them and encouraging them all the time. Don't miss that opportunity. You know, Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act." And so my kids, you know, they come out with me like, "Oh, he's gonna say something now."
Oh, here it goes.
Yeah. And I'll go say something, and I'll turn around and say, "You know what? I'll look at my son or my wife," and that was free. That didn't cost me anything. What did that cost me? What did that cost me to go tell that man, you were doing a great job, almost was shoveling snow outside of a store. Says, "Man, thank you so much. I appreciate that." And have you ever worked in a place where you're just working, mm-hmm. and it's like sometimes it's not recognized, or, you know, you're just working hard. Mm-hmm. And it's hard sometimes to recognize everybody, you know, right. doing something.
Yeah.
But someone comes up and says something positive to you about your work, your labor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Man, that...
Yeah, it just changes everything. Changes your whole attitude, everything.
Oh, yeah.
It just... Yeah.
Makes you want to work harder.
Yeah, exactly. At my last place of employment, you know, we always lacked in that area, not hearing any kind of praise or, you know, telling us that we did a good job. And I had a customer sent in with their bill to pay their bill. They wrote a note, you know, saying how good of a job I did, and, mm-hmm. and they were very happy with the work I did. I took that thing and I pinned it up on my office wall.
Wow.
To encourage myself.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you need that.
Mm-hmm.
You need that. You need that. You really need to have that time of being encouraged yourself, but also encourage others. If you want to receive encouragement and you're saying, "Well, you know what? That'd be nice. You know, that's right. I love this VFN radio. These guys are saying, go out and encourage. I need some encouragement." Well, if you want encouragement, then you probably need to sow encouragement.
There you go.
You want to sow encouragement. And I just want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you to go out today. Don't let the sun go down before you recognize something that someone has done, and tell them, walk up a stranger and say, "Hey, you're doing a great job. Thanks. We're encouraging you." We'll be right back.
You know, I want to encourage you as you're listening to VFN Radio every day. You know, we're 24/7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over 1 billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience a virtual stadium, if you would, that was being filled all around the world. And now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective of the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast. The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it, so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool, because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you, to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They'll just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the first hour is Pat and Chris. We were just talking about encouraging someone today. We don't care who it is. It could be your neighbor. It could be the person at the coffee store. It could be your coworker. But encourage them. Catch them doing something good. Well, you know, we want to talk about, we're talking about hard work. And, you know, the Word of God gives us so much wisdom. And we want to share a wisdom moment with you today about considering the ant. Considering the ant. You know, God tells us to consider the ant. We can learn from creation. And I want you to listen up and be encouraged. Listen to this. Well, you know, every day we like to share the moment of wisdom. And today we want to share the moment of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And so it's so important. It's so important to get godly wisdom.
Amen.
There is a wisdom of this world. I've tried it, been there, done that, and died there.
I know that's right.
But there is some godly wisdom. And let me tell you, that is so much better. And so we love the book of Proverbs. We love the whole book of the Bible. And But the Proverbs is about 31 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. And I don't know how it was set up that way, but it was. And mm-hmm. it's encouraging because we can share, you know, if it's the sixth day of the month, we can read the sixth proverb. And we encourage you that if, you know, let the Word of God wash over you. If you got an mm-hmm. app that plays a, you know, plays the Bible, reads the Bible out for you, let that Word just wash over you. And let it just minister to you, and you know, include it with your additional other, you know, abiding scriptures that you read for that morning. But let the wisdom of God roll over you. Now I want to read Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "My son, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores up its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man." Wow.
That's good.
Wow. You know, it's amazing how much a generation, you know, how much can be lost or gained within mm-hmm. a generation.
That's right.
It really is. And I think that one of the things that we have lost, unfortunately, is the sense of work, is the sense of hard work. Mm-hmm. You see on programs, you see, you know, maybe young people today, and it's this appears to be this entitlement mentality that's creeping in, and now it's not, you know, forget about working hard, it's about getting it done easier and faster, and, mm-hmm. and what's the less effort that I can put into it, and you know, you ask people, you're working hard? Oh no, hardly working. You know, it's like, yeah. oh not too much. Like, what's wrong with working hard? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that? Has that become something that's bad? You know, with our work is one of the ways that we can actually glorify God. It's one of the ways that God can get glory by our work, by the energy, by our talents, by the exercising of our mind, by our mm-hmm. labors. God can be glorified in that. It's not wasted. Those 40, you know, 50, 60 hours that you're working in a week, that's not wasted before God.
That's right.
If you're doing it unto his glory. But it's interesting that the Word of God says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." Mm-hmm. What's that? I love that word, you sluggard.
Sluggard, yeah.
What is a sluggard?
Sounds really bad.
I know. It's a person who is habitually inactive or lazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a slug. You know what I mean? You know, you don't want to be a sluggard. You don't just want to just be moping along and just inactive. You know, have you ever heard that idleness is the devil's playground? You know, you don't want to be
right.
idle, just, you know, running but not going nowhere. That's a dangerous place. You know what I mean? Just idling, wasting gas but not going anywhere. That's pretty sad.
That's pretty bad.
And so the Word of God says is, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider its ways and be wise." It's amazing how God's creation speaks. It's amazing how we can observe things and look at what God's created and just get wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I these days, you know, sometimes you're so busy doing all the things and responsibilities that you have to do that you don't take time to smell the roses.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take time to smell the roses. You got to take time to look. You know, children, amazingly how they have all this time. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, nothing. Nothing for 5 hours today? Nothing? Like, tell me something. You did something today. You know, it's like, oh, just playing with, you know, with whatever, you know,
but
they have time to observe things, you know, and pick up animals and all types of creatures, you know, but we would do well if we would just slow down enough and just observe some things. So he says a sluggard, look at the ant, observe its ways. It says it has no commander, no overseer or ruler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has no boss. He got no supervisor.
Mm-mm.
He has no time clock. Doesn't have no camera over them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It has no way to ensure for them, you know, someone telling them what to do. Yet, it stores up its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest.
Right.
See, the ant does what the ant is supposed to do without someone telling them what they have to do.
Isn't that amazing?
If somebody has to tell you all the time, you got to do this, you got to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's time to do this. It's like, okay, now it's time to breathe. Okay, now it's time to think. You know what I'm saying? Okay, now move your right leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be at the place like the ant that after you've been trained and you've learning and you want to come to the place where you're self-governing, where you're self-managing, where you're at the place where not that you're better than any, you know, one or thing, but that you're come to the place where you can you know what needs to be done and you get it done.
Right.
You know, because this sluggardness, you like that word, this sluggardness, this thing can hit you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? It's amazing that the longer you stay inactive, the longer that you stop doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's this drowsiness, this, you know, I've never seen more people have no energy about doing nothing. It's like, how do you have no energy? You just told me you did nothing all day.
You should have plenty of energy.
What are you possibly tired about? What is it? But it's amazing. It's like a car. A car is meant to be moving. You know, if a car doesn't move, it rots out.
Yeah.
A car, you are meant to be contributing. You are meant to be engaged. You're meant to be adding value and sustenance and you know, value in your community, in your life, in your family. Now it's interesting that the Bible says if you don't work, you shall not eat.
That's right.
You know, just say if you don't have a job, you know, because there's people that are unemployed. I mean, you can still work, you can still do things. You know, it's not so someone should have fallen under conviction if they're not, you know, employed. But there's plenty of work to be done.
Right.
If you don't know, call us up. We got some. there's plenty of work to do. Yeah, I love when I hear, I'm bored. I said, well, please don't say that around me. Please don't say that word
around. That's right.
Find something to do. But he says, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Yet an ant, a diligent person, knows that things are coming up. They have an eye, a perspective on the future. They understand that just can't spend everything that I got today and not think about tomorrow. It even understands that there's seasons in life. You know, seasons change. You know, we're in transition. You got to know the times. What you used to be able to spend on resources before, you may not be able to spend today.
Right.
But, you know, if you're a sluggard, you're not even thinking about this. They give no thought. Mm-hmm. This is what the Bible says. You got to give thought to your ways. You got to take an inventory of your life. He says, oh, my goodness, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man.
Right.
And you think about it, there's a progression, a little sleep, you know, a little slumber, and there's like, oh, I'm tired.
Ain't done nothing.
tired. But it's amazing sometimes the more energized you are, if you had this experience, the more you've been working diligently and the more that you're engaged in what you're doing, it's like, oh my goodness, Have I been at this for 10 hours? Have I been at this at 8 hours? It's like, I haven't, and you stop it and maybe you crash, but you've just been so engaged in what you're doing. It just adds fuel to what you're presently engaged in.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
It's like, did I not eat lunch today? There's other days you're like, I'm starving every 5 minutes. But when you're engaged and you're working and you're contributing, it's just like, I'm not even hungry. And I have no even time to be hungry.
Right, exactly.
Even think about it. And so, how long will you lie there? When you go get up from your sleep, he says, poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Let me tell you something. Poverty will jump all over you. It will slap wear you out if you don't get diligent about what you're supposed to be doing. And it's not where he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to, and he says, you know, I have anointed and appointed you to bear fruit. Much fruit and fruit that remains. You know, our life has to be producing something. We're going to be fulfilled when we're actually producing and giving God glory.
That's right.
But if the branch is not part of the vine, if you're sluggard and wilting and folding the rest and you're not contributing, you're not going to have much to produce. You're not going to have much life left. Mm-hmm. Amazing what they say about when people retire. They say that their health rapidly declines.
That's right.
Rapidly declines. Mm-hmm. And I don't see retirement in the Bible anywhere. I'm not against anyone retiring now, but it means you stop working in one area, but you can still be continue to work in another area. You just don't want to shut down. So we can learn a lot from the ant. We can observe and we can be wise. The moment of wisdom today is found in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.